Texas Governor Greg Abbott has declared this week Amateur Radio Week, recognizing the importance of amateur radio and the service it provides in times of public emergency. That said, more than 40,000 hams throughout North America are setting up temporary transmitting stations in public places to demonstrate ham radio's science, skill, and service to our communities and our nation. It combines public service, emergency preparedness, community outreach, and technical skills all in a single event. Field Day is what it's called. It's been an annual event since 1933 and remains the most popular event in ham radio. It's sometimes referred to as Amateur Radio's Open House. And joining us now, Houston Ham Bill Cordell, to tell us about Field Day, about amateur or ham radio as it's known popularly, and about one ham club's observance of the event. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Good morning, JP.
So, you're a lifelong ham, Bill. What attracted you to the hobby?
It was a love at first sight. I was kind of a techie kid in my teens, and it attracted me, and then it was just a learning experience from there on. And from that, I went to into commercial radio and the broadcast radio, and it's been a love ever since.
Well, you actually turned you into an electrical engineer somewhere along the line.
It did. I got a degree in electrical engineering, I've been working in both two-way communications and microwave. Did work a little work for NASA. Have my own business. I'm very fortunate to be where I am. It's been an unbelievable hobby, avocation and vocation wrapped into one.
So what does it take to become a ham?
A little tenacity, in the fact that you need to, have that spark and say, well, gee, I'd like to learn a little bit more about it. There's so many facets to ham radio. It's incredible. The technical end of it, the parts of it, the social end of it, where you talk to people and you converse with people all the way around the world, can do that 24/7. There's all types of modes of modulation, and right now you're using AM modulation, and which was probably the first. CW, which is the word for continuous wave, means code, like Morse code. CW started out in the beginnings, the 18th, turn of the 19th century with Heinrich Hertz and Marconi. And then, the government stepped in about, I think it was about 1912 with the Radio Act of 1912 to put a little structure and control in it. And ham radio was really born about that time because really, Hertz and Marconi were amateur radio guys. They weren't commercial or anything like that. So off it started then. And at that point, things have just moved forward with the World War One and Two. Of course, technology went berserk. And now, nowadays we have all kinds of different modulation schemes besides code. We have AM. We have a single sideband, which was created out of the World War. We have RIDI, and that's a teletype, fancy name for teletype. And of course, now we've got some of the newer digital modes called after Joe Taylor, Professor Taylor, took some of the algorithms that we use daily and adapted it over to amateur radio. And now with conditions as poor as they are right now on the lower frequencies, you can still make conversations around the world. I contacted Bahrain yesterday evening on just 50 watts. And so it's really the mystique and the fun and the camaraderie, I guess, that you could have. And we a long time ago you had to take a test based on if you're a novice. The layers of tests were novice, technician, general, and they've done away with some of them, and they've done away with the a code requirement. I think they did that away in 2006, and so you take a test like the technician. And off you go. You can talk to local hams on repeaters, just like some of the two-way guys talk from car to car, and that's one layer of it. But it's a little bit of everything. It's hard to explain in just one sitting because it's so many facets, as you know.
I know you even actually did amateur television for a while.
I did. I worked with a group of guys, and we did slow scan television, and then of course we had to migrate to a fast scan, which was somewhat difficult because of the older equipment. But nowadays, equipment is you really don't build it yourself. It's all computer-based and processor-driven type of equipment. a lot easier. If it fails, you just almost get a new radio. It's almost it's one of those things where you don't have tubes anymore, or the British call them valves.
So I think you can also even talk to the space station, the astronauts.
Yes. No, I have not, but others have. Many of the schools have got together and teamed up with a ham club or an amateur radio club, and set up the conversations with the space station, several of them. And then also the hams have put up many, many space repeaters themselves. I can't even name them all. I'm not that sharp in it. But there's several of them that still orbit the Earth. And on field day, we're going to do just that. We'll have a demonstration of talking through one of the satellites that's orbiting the Earth. It shows up typically every, I think, 90 minutes, and then it lulls for several hours as the orbit changes. So it's like I say, it's got a little bit of everything for everybody.
It's a lot of fun. I got into this when I was a kid, left it behind, and then came back. That's a fairly common story. A lot of people run out of time when they're in their adult child-raising years, and then they come back to it when they get older and have more time, and it's just a fantastic hobby. But there's more to it than just hobbying. There's also the public service angle, and I'd like for you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, the public service, the FCC has got rules and regulations that specifically talk about amateur radio and our service with the public and such like that. We're mandated to provide that service, and this is why some people have large antennas in their backyards and stuff like that. They might look a little gangly, but during the earthquakes, I went to Mexico City during the earthquake in '85. And assisted with many connections. Believe it or not, Mexico City was not badly damaged, but all the infrastructure outside of Mexico City was horribly damaged. No microwave, no fiber. And so, again, ham radio took over, and I ran close to 300 health and welfare checks with people back in the United States. And we did that until our voice wore out. But yes, that also worked with Houston Harris County Office of Emergency Management many, many years ago, and provided service for hurricanes, tornado activity, and such like that when cell phones were not as prevalent. But cell phones, after a while, when the batteries tire out and the power's not there, generators run out of fuel, they go dead. Ham radio does not. It's all independent. It's in a truck. It's run by the car or the truck that it's in. Most of the ham radio operators have other sources of power, both wind power and solar power, and so they can keep up relaying information from point A to point B.
And that brings us to Field Day, the event that is taking place right now in Texas this weekend. It is a chance for hams to show off a little bit and have some fun together.
Oh, absolutely. We've gathered up a large number of antennas. We'll put them up on man lifts to get them off the ground, and that's an easy way to do it instead of building a tower. But you get them about 30, 40, 50 feet, and we make as many contacts from Saturday, from 1 o'clock Saturday to 1 o'clock Sunday as possible. And it's a contest type of an event, and we run on generated power, and we work on as many frequencies as we can. And of course, the frequencies or the conditions of the propagation changes as the Earth turns, as does AM radio. You know, AM, when the sun goes down, AM changes propagation, and you can hear things far away. Same way happens with lower frequency and ham radio. And so Field Day is really great. We invite everybody to come out. We've got four clubs joining together with the Brazos Valley Amateur Radio Club, and we're going to have a large turnout. We'll have hamburgers and hot dogs on Saturday. It'll be a great adventure. Also, we have a number of guys that do nothing but explain amateur radio, all facets of it, the antenna, the transmission line, transmitters, you name it, we'll talk about it.
If you're a techie, you're going to have some fun out there. And there's actually one feature of Field Day that takes place all across the country, and that's called GOTA, G-O-T-A, Get On The Air. It's an acronym. And we're going to have that set up out there for the BVARC operation as well.
Absolutely. No, that we want to, what we do is invite people to come and talk on the radio and talk to other people during field day. And that's what GOTA is all about. We seek to have as many people talk on it. And of course, we'll have, you know, licensed amateur radio operators there to do the controlling. But if you want to come and talk on the radio, please come.
All right. Well, it's a great and wonderful and fun event, and it's also a great opportunity for hams to practice a little bit under circumstances that aren't the normal setup that they have at home where they're plugged into the wall. Here they have to plug into some other form of power, and they have to have temporary antenna setups and all these kinds of things that they would actually encounter in a real-life disaster situation.
Absolutely. It's really encouraging because the amateur radio community really bonds together during emergencies, and we work with the Office of Emergency Management and judges, and such like that in each of the counties to have them tell us what they need us to do, relay information and such like that until they say, no, you're not needed anymore, and then off we go.
So, field day takes place here in this area from 1 p.m. Saturday until 1 p.m. on Sunday. The event takes place at the Pecan Grove Volunteer Fire Department. That's at 727 Pitts Road in Richmond, Texas. Not hard to find. You can find it on the map. And come on out, see what's happening, and we hope you will.
That would be good. Also, if you need any other information, Amateur Radio Relay League, which is a very large organization for amateur radios, ARRL.org is a good place to go, ARRL.org. And locally, it's the BVARC Club is BVARC.org.